Welcome back. Weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here alongside Scott Eckersley. You know, last week we talked about the RPI side of things with rankings, and I thought this week, Scott, we'd talk more about just sort of power rankings. And now we're joined by Ken Pomeroy, who's the writer of KenPom.com. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so Ken, explain to me a little bit, because I read a little on your site about what your site is exactly with the formula that you use and everything, and I got it to a certain extent, and then you started talking Pythagorean theorem and stuff, and I kind of got lost, but just give our listeners a basic gist of what your site is and what you provide.
Yeah, the basic idea is that I provide you with a rating of teams based on how good they are right now. And I do that by measuring a team's offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. So how many points they score per possession, how many points they allow per possession. Those are the two primary components. I adjust those for strength of schedule. So if you're playing really good defenses, your offense probably isn't going to look that good. So I adjust for that. I adjust for the side of the game. I adjust for when the game was played. So I give games that have been played more recently more weight. And that all goes into the mixing bowl, and out comes the Pythagorean rating that you're talking about. And not to overwhelm people with calculus, I mean, that's just basically the difference between a team's offensive and defensive efficiencies that I compute. And so that's kind of the backbone for the rating system.
Ken, it's Scott here. You talked about how more recent games affect it more. So when Michigan State plays its hard games in the beginning, what does that do for them?
Yeah, the thing is, so each game, it's not like the RPI where, say, you know, you play a weak opponent and that's going to damage your rating, you know, regardless of if you win or lose. So it really shouldn't matter, you know, if you play your tough games in the beginning or you play your tough games late. It tries to measure how well you're playing, regardless of who you're playing. So if you're playing a weak opponent and you beat them by three, well, you're going to get penalized. But if you dominate that game, as a good, you know, good team should, you'll get credit for it. And so the weighting basically just accounts for the fact that, you know, games that are played later in the season are more indicative of how good a team is right now.
Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com with us. And Ken, so I'm just kind of thinking here. All right, so let's say you play a team towards the beginning of the year that's ranked like 27th. Then as the year goes along, that team now drops to, let's say, 40 or 45. Does that change each team's resume as the year goes along, or is it if you played them when they were 27th, then you beat the 27th best team?
Yeah, it actually changes as the year goes on. And I'm not going to, you know, totally defend that's the best assumption in all cases, but I do think, you know, certainly I look at a team like Duke, for instance, okay, they had a couple early wins against Michigan State and Kansas State, and people, you know, put Duke on a pedestal for those wins. And as it turned out, well, we went through the season, Michigan State and Kansas State probably weren't that good. And I think the information that we got from Michigan State and Kansas State after the Duke game was important, was, you know, useful. And I think it reflected, you know, the team that Duke ended up playing back in November and December. So in most cases, I think it's a good assumption. There are obviously cases where there are personnel changes or things like that, or a team just goes south, and maybe that's not the best way to do things. But in general, I think it is, and I sort of stick by that rule.
Does the Tournament Selection Committee use your ranking process at all, or is this more for people who are possibly gambling in Vegas, people who just kind of want to keep up with stuff? Like, who are the main people that use this site?
Yeah, it's got a diverse user base, I guess you could say. I'm sure it is popular among gamblers, although I'm also sure that it really shouldn't be. Because, I mean, think about it. If I had a system that, you know, was effective at beating the point spread, why would I put it online?
That's a very good point.
I would just hide it, and I'd come to Vegas and, you know, make some money. But it is, the committee does get this information, which is, I think, a plus. It's not, I don't think it's used extensively. It might not even be used at all, but it is part of the packet of information that each committee member gets. I think most people that use it, though, you know, it's people in the game, coaches use it, because there's more details than just the ratings. I mean, there's details on what each team's strength and weakness is. And so coaches, you know, take advantage of that. Fans that are, you know, analytically minded take advantage of it as well. I mean, I'd say those are the two people that I try to cater to the most.
We're talking to Ken Pomeroy. He does the Pomeroy Rankings, and he's got kenpom.com. Ken, your analysis, your rankings are based all on numbers. And I love your explanation. It's because you can't see everything. But I know you're out covering the Mountain West right now. Who's the best team that you have seen? You've got Ohio State number one in your rankings. Are they the best team you've seen?
Yeah, I think so. And you make a good point, too. Like, I would never suggest to anybody just use my ratings blindly and go down the list and say, oh, you know, team number seven is better than team number eight. I mean, you do need some context. I think you do need to see these teams play to put some, you know, something behind these ratings. But I would stand by the fact that Ohio State is the best team. I know, you know, they had a scare against Northwestern, and that doesn't necessarily reflect well on them. But the Big Ten is really tough, especially the bottom half of the Big Ten. I don't think people nationally appreciate that. But, you know, you saw Purdue lose at Iowa. I mean, it's a cliche, but there's really no gimmies. I mean, okay, you're playing Iowa at home. That's probably a gimme. But on the road at a neutral site, not really. And, you know, we've seen Ohio State have some close calls this year. They've also had some pretty impressive wins as well. And I think overall, sure, they have the depth problem. But as a starting five, I think they're the best starting five in the country.
So give me your top five teams, either based on your rankings or just that you've seen this year. Who are the top five teams in the country?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, the top three, I think, are pretty obvious. Ohio State and Kansas, I don't think anybody would dispute. I would throw Duke in there as well. I mean, I've mentioned that to a few people, and there's some doubters out there about Duke of late. But I still think they're one of the three best teams in the country. And then after that, it's a mishmash. I think I'd throw Purdue in there, and I think I'd throw Pitt in there as my fourth and fifth teams. But, you know, I think Texas, Wisconsin, they both have good cases, maybe even San Diego State. There's a pretty big drop-off after those top three, maybe after the top two. And so, you know, you're talking about the difference between, like, the fourth-best team and the ninth-best team. There's really, I think, very little difference right now between them.
Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com. Ken, real quick, as we're talking about rankings, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to wonder, how good is Notre Dame? Have you seen them play? Are you a believer in them, or are they kind of just kind of riding a wave?
A little more of the latter. I mean, you can't argue with what they've done. They've had a lot of success this year. I think, you know, as a one seed, they'd be a little overrated. I was impressed with their win yesterday. I didn't see the game against Cincinnati, but Cincinnati is actually a pretty underrated team. And so, you know, winning going away against the Bearcats is pretty impressive. The thing about them is that they've had a lot of close wins this year, and that's something that my system, you know, kind of sees through. If you've had a lot of close wins, it kind of figures, you know, maybe you should have lost some of those games that you won. And so I think Notre Dame is very good. They're not great. I obviously omitted them from my top five discussion there. I think they have a case to be maybe the fifth-best team in the country, but it's not as strong as I would give it for a Pitt or a Purdue.
We're talking to Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com here on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Ken, you do more than just team stats. You've got player stats, and new this year, your player of the year, where you have Jimmer Fredette. I think you said he's kind of running away with it. How do you come up with your offensive player ratings?
Yeah, so the offensive rating is just a measure of, like, a player's individual efficiency. So the site kind of starts out, you know, you talk about team efficiency. Obviously, that's made up by various players and how efficient they are. And so, you know, basically, how many points would a player score, you know, per 100 times that he has the ball is essentially how it shakes out. And so, you know, if you're over 100, that's kind of above average. If you're under 100, that's below average. And so that's what goes into it. So there's two components here, really. One, first is efficiency, and then the second is how involved is the player in the offense? Because clearly, you know, if you're Kalen Lucas and you're the focal point of the offense, it's more difficult to post a high efficiency than if you're, Mike Keebler, let's say, who, you know, never shoots, you know, is very selective about when he gets involved in the offense. And obviously he's going to have more success because he's more selective. So those are the two things that go into it. And, you know, a player like, say, Jimmer Fredette that masters both of those. I mean, he's very efficient and he's heavily involved in his offense. Those are kind of your superstar players, and those are the players that get rated very highly in my player of the year ratings.
Now, do those ratings have to do with the level of competition that they're playing against, or does that not factor into it?
Yeah, the ratings that you see on my page are actually not adjusted for competition. I'm always hesitant to adjust for competition unless I can, you know, do it in a way that I'm happy with. And I've tried a few things, but it's just very, very difficult to come up with something that I'm happy with. So I just kind of throw the raw data out there. Over the course of a season, you know, you can, I think you can compare players like within a conference, you know, within the power conferences, for instance, because schedules are generally pretty equal by the time you get to the beginning of March. So I'm not too concerned about the schedule adjustments there. But yeah, it's just raw stats.
One last thing for you, Ken. You said you're covering the Mountain West when I spoke to you earlier, so you've kind of see it. We haven't talked about it yet. How much of an impact does Brandon Davies not being on that BYU team have?
Yeah, quite a lot. I mean, first of all, he's like their kind of only skilled big man. They now have to play somebody at the center, and Noah Hartsock is really kind of evolved into like a European-type foreman, but now he has to play the five. So it hurts there. It puts a lot of pressure on their backcourt, and they have no depth. I mean, their first-round game, they actually did not substitute in the second half. Coach Dave Rose kind of channeled his inner Thad Mata there and didn't sub at all in the second half. So it's a pretty huge impact, and they're struggling. There's no doubt. I mean, they tremendously rely on the three-pointer now, and that's going to be a problem. It's kind of a shame that they're not going to be able to realize their full potential without Davies.
Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com joining us. Please check out the site. It's very informative, very interesting. Ken, we appreciate it, man. Good stuff.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com. We'll be right back. Weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.